You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What's up, everyone? Jose Yanis here with MMAfighting.com here for a quote-unquote extra live episode of the A-Side Live Chat. We are live here in Houston. It is UFC 247 Fight Week. Casey Lydon is behind the camera. Esther Lynn is off to the side. She will not be reading questions this time. I will be reading the questions, but sitting next to me, Alex Savas is making her on-camera debut for MMA Fighting, or as we like to call her, Cool Alex, because there are two Alexes on site. There's Cool Alex, and then there is the other Alex, or Alex number two, or the man with the scar, whatever you want to call him. As always, this is not our podcast. This is your guys' podcast. You can go to MMAfighting.com, find the post on the site, leave your comment in the comment section. The ones in green with the most upvotes will be prioritized. Or you can use hashtag the A-Side on Twitter. Or you can just respond to the tweet announcing the show. A lot of you guys do that too. But without further ado, we're going to hop into the comment section. First question from, oh my, Esther. This is a new commenter, and the username is Esther Lynn is hot.
Heyo.
And it is the from Esther Lynn is hot, and it is in green, so I prioritized it. Like I said, long time viewer, first time commenting. With tons of fighters in the UFC from Africa or with African roots, book a main event or full card for an eventual UFC in my hometown of Cape Town, South Africa. UFC's first event here will likely be a fight night or ESPN card. However, for this exercise, let's pretend this fictional event is a pay-per-view. I have heard you guys reference a possible event in Morocco before. No offense to Morocco, but that's not Africa. That's northern Spain. Ooh. All right. Okay. Strong words from Morocco. So, Alex, there are a lot of fighters with African roots, specifically from Nigeria. So let's break down a five fight main card for an inaugural event in Africa.
In Cape Town, South Africa. Into it. It is the most gorgeous place on earth.
Never been.
I agree with him. We should go there.
I think and for this exercise, we'll go based off fighters right now. So it's like, what if, and there's no what if he wins the championship, what if he loses the championship. It's fighters presently
on the roster
fighting with their current records, with their current championship belts. So I think the main event, Israel Adesanya, would have to be in the main event.
Yep.
He has the broken native tattoo across his chest. He does have the country of Africa tattooed on him. So he is continent. I said country. I'm dumb. It's been a day. Main event would be Israel Adesanya. I would match him up against, let's say, Paulo Costa.
Okay.
Because he's already booked against Yoel Romero in Las Vegas, and in this fictional world, that fight is not happening. Instead, Israel Adesanya is fighting Paulo Costa in the main event of UFC Africa. Co-main event, I would have to put Kamaru Usman. He is another champion, and historically, the UFC puts the heavier weight class at the top, unless your name is Conor McGregor. Kamaru Usman versus, who should he fight in the co-main event of UFC Africa?
Who's next for Usman?
Right now it's Jorge Masvidal, right, in international fight week, but that's not officially booked. But do you want to stick Jorge Masvidal on UFC Africa
in a co-main event? Not in UFC Africa, no. We can save that for another place.
Do the rematch against Leon Edwards?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
I think that's a good one. And then I think the fight before, Casey Lydon giving me a questionable look. they fought before. That's Leon Edwards' last loss, Casey. Yes.
He's on board.
Right below that, I think he's not from Nigeria, but Francis Ngannou would have to be on the main card. He's not a champion right now. I like the fight that he has now against Biggie Boy Jairzinho.
Yeah.
I just rebooked that as the first non-title fight for UFC Nigeria.
Let's do it.
And then anyone else you want to include? We still got two more fights to go down.
I really wish that if Cyborg was still in the UFC, I would put her in there because she's been training out of South Africa. And I'm sure she's made quite a few fans out there.
We still have Super Sadiq Youssef. We have Hakeem Douadu or Hakeem Douadu. I can never pronounce his last name right.
Who was the guy she was training with?
I do not know off the top of my head.
What about Don Match? Did you hear
that? I like it. I would put Super Sadiq Youssef. He's a featherweight on there. He reps the Nigerian flag around his head. He just won at UFC 246. I beat Andre Feely, who was on a pretty good run. Stick a featherweight fight on there. We got a middleweight fight. We got a welterweight fight. We got a heavyweight fight. Might as well stick a smaller weight class in there. So he could fight, I don't know who's ranked at featherweight. I give him a rank, ranked opponent. UFC rankings, as I look this up on air, because this is great, great television. Featherweight, he can fight Ryan Hall. Ryan Hall versus Sadiq Youssef in UFC Africa. Casey Lydon gives it a thumbs up. He's been calling for a fight for Ryan Hall for months. There you go. And then one other fight. Who should kick off the main card?
Let's throw Felice Herrig back in there. Curious to see how she handles UFC Africa.
Against who?
Doesn't matter.
Just Felice Herrig versus TBD? Doesn't even have to be of African descent?
No, of course not.
Angela Hill, she fights every other week.
She's
so
into it.
She can fight Felice Herrig versus Angela Hill to kick off the pay-per-view card of UFC South Africa.
So there you would think that the Don match doesn't get to be on the main card?
Depends on if they just want to toss a female fighter. Sometimes they do like to throw a female fight on the pay-per-view.
He is from Cape Town.
So. He is from Cape. Well, maybe he can be on the ESPN prelim featured fighter.
And he's a model.
Well, stick him on the featured prelim fight because then it can lead right into the pay-per-view.
Who isn't a model?
You're not wrong. So there's our, from top to bottom, Israel Adesanya versus Paulo Costa, Kamaru Usman versus Leon Edwards II, Francis Ngannou versus Biggie Boy Jairzinho, Sadiq Youssef versus Ryan Hall, Felice Herrig versus Angela Hill. You tell us in the comment section what you guys think for a hypothetical inaugural card of UFC South Africa. I'm also going through the YouTube comments to see if no one is disagreeing. No one's disagreeing. All right, but we're going to move along to Hefe01's question on the site. Upset this weekend? I have a weird feeling that this weekend will end with a new champion. Last time I felt a major upset was Chris Weidman versus Anderson Silva. Something in my bones is telling me it is very possible. If there is to be an upset this weekend of one or both of these pound-for-pound grades, which do you think is most likely? I personally lean towards Reyes having a breakthrough performance, but Catlin is no slouch either. Well, first of all, it would be Anderson Silva versus Chris Weidman because Anderson Silva was the champion, so he would get top billing. Also, I don't really kind of view that as an upset because I pegged Chris Weidman to win that fight to begin with, but it was an upset nonetheless in the eyes of many fans and betting favorites. Bet odds makers, but out of the main event between John Jones versus Dominic Reyes, John Jones is very clearly the favorite. He's arguably the greatest fighter who's ever graced planet Earth, and then Valentin Shevchenko on the same breath is one of, if not the most talented fighters inside the UFC octagon. Not even when it comes to male or female, she is just uber talented. So of these two champions, who is most likely to be upset?
I'm going to say John Jones. I'm not going to go against Valentina Shevchenko. She's militant. Like, she's got very few weaknesses, and we've seen that. John Jones, I think, you know, it's a lot easier for him to get caught than I think Valentina, if I'm just going to compare the two in that way.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, I feel like every time I kind of lean towards John Jones possibly being upset, he puts on the performance of a life. When he first fought Daniel Cormier, the first time when Daniel Cormier was undefeated, everyone kept saying, like, oh, Daniel Cormier is his kryptonite, and John Jones basically manhandled him for five rounds, and then the rematch. I think the only fighter better than John Jones is John Jones rematching someone. Mm-hmm. He rematched Daniel Cormier, and he kicked his skull in.
No. I looked on Fight Finder. That's not what happened. It's a no contest.
It is technically a no contest.
Officially. And technically.
It is a no contest on the record books, but the performance is still great.
I'm just fact-checking back here. Okay. I'm just fact-checking.
It is still a great performance coming in a rematch, and then he rematched Alexander Gustafsson and basically used his head as a basketball on the canvas. So it's hard to pick against John Jones, but I think it's even harder to pick against Valentina right now. I think there was a point in time where John Jones's talent was just the gap between him and number two was so vast, especially coming when he beat Daniel Cormier the first time. It was really like, who in the world is going to beat this man? And I think, I don't want to say people have caught up, but the last few performances where after he beat Thiago Santos, I was doing the post-fight show during the press conference, and I was asking people, how did you score this fight? And the YouTube comments were all 1-2-5 Santos. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think Thiago Santos beat John Jones. Mm-hmm. Casey Lydon thinks Thiago Santos beat John Jones, and then his fight against Anthony Smith was not the John Jones we're accustomed to seeing. So I think in 2020, John Jones has looked more beatable lately. But and I think Valentina is where John was a few years ago, where the gap between her and number two is so massive.
Yep.
Also, but at the same time, Valentina's coming off a quote-unquote lackluster title defense against Luz Carmouche, who Luz Carmouche lost her UFC job coming off that loss.
Sorry, Liz.
Casey, you care to chime in on the quote-unquote highlights of that fight?
Oh, the highlights. Yes. The highlights of Carmouche Valentina. Yes, they were.
They fought.
They fought.
It was a rematch.
25 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a thing.
As someone on Twitter pointed out, the invisible dummy in between them got beat up a lot in that fight. A lot of punching and kicking, not a lot of connecting. But I have to agree with you. I think John Jones is... I don't think either of them lose on Saturday. But if I had to put money on who would be upset, I think John Jones is...
I'm going
to
say this too about Valentina and that Carmouche fight because I'm going to compare to a sport that I play myself, tennis. Okay, if you're a very good tennis player and you're playing against somebody who's really not up to your level, sometimes you look worse because you don't know what the hell that person is even like doing. I'm not saying that was the case, but... That does happen. Sometimes the other fighter is just not up to your par, and you're kind of thrown for a loop. So that could explain why she acted the way she did. I don't know.
It was also a rematch, and I believe Liz won the first time, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
So it wasn't like she won. She didn't like blow the doors off her, but like it was coming off that decapitation of Jessica Eye. So if we go from that performance where everyone was like, this is the performance she needed. Like, she's been dominating, but she hasn't been like, there's not that front kick from Anderson. There's not the Showtime kick from Anthony Pettis. She needed that highlight and she got it. And then the next performance didn't live up to the highlight. So maybe it's just the clash of like the highs and the lows of being a champion. Everyone turned on her immediately.
I know.
After that, she went from like a co-main event slot to a main event, back to a co-main event. It is what it is. Someone in the comment, West Coast Cali, said the only people that think Santos won is because they're John Jones haters.
Okay.
She said, I had Jones 4-1, but then Max El Kukui Holloway says Santos 1-2-5. Still close.
So it was close, but if you agree the other way, you're a hater.
I guess. I guess so.
Okay, that's just a bad comment.
Hey.
Wait. This is a question from Esther Lynn, is my wife. Will Shevchenko versus Chikagian be more like the Carmouche fight or more like the Jessica Eye fight?
Jessica Eye.
So you think it's gonna be something big's gonna happen?
I don't know. These are two kind of like counter fighters. Like Jessica Eye was like kind of just like walking forward and didn't have her hands up and just took a baseball bat to the temple. Where Katlyn Chookagian makes people like I don't even think it's a detriment. Like she makes fighters just not fight the way they normally fight. Like the Joanne Calderwood fight was three rounds of them like circling each other and like she'd go in and out, in and out, in and out. I think it could be very similar to the Liz Carmouche fight. Maybe not that, like, not as much of a staring contest, but two counter fighters kind of just, like, circling each other, looking for windows, looking for one to make a mistake. And Valentina doesn't really make mistakes. And Katlyn Chookagian lost to Jessica Eye. I don't think Valentina's going to win, but I don't think she's... I think Valentina will win, but I don't think she's going to dead. I don't think she's going to melt Katlyn Chookagian like that. But
we'll see.
You never know. Moving on. From Grin N, another longtime commenter, if Conor McGregor regains his title, will he be making history by defending it for once?
No. Making history for defending a title? That's already been done.
Right. Demetrius Johnson has done it, what, like 12 times?
We've seen it before.
We've seen it before. Moving on. Bad question. From Ted Bear, would you give to Jessica Penny's GoFundMe? It's a bad situation and USADA seems out of control. But so is Nick Diaz's 5-year ban for pot, and there was no public solicitation on Diaz's part. So should we rally behind Penny or chalk it up to that's what you get for not having a union?
Well, you can't blame a worker for not having a union. It's not her job
fault
to put that in place. Would I donate to her? I mean, if I wasn't in this industry, and had a lot of money, sure. Sure, everyone gets some money. Why not?
That's the question. Would you give to Jessica Penny's GoFundMe? Casey, would you give to Jessica Penny's GoFundMe?
If you can afford it, give it.
Yeah, if you can afford it, give it.
If you support Jessica Penny, give it.
I'd like to see, like, the, you know, the proof and the files that she's talking about and the letters that went on and what really happened. And if she's got a case, hell yeah.
I think it was, what, $40,000 in, like, 8 days she needs to raise. So yeah. If you can afford it, why not? But to say that this is what you get for not having a union is a little harsh. It's not to her.
That's not her fault.
It's not like just guys. It's going to be like, you know what, guys? I think we need a union. And then all the fighters are like, yes, we need this to happen.
Yeah, that question took a big turn at the end.
The union thing comes up a lot when it comes to the USADA stuff. Like, whenever we have a question about USADA fighters and suspensions and fines, the end of the question is always like, oh, and do we need a union?
Well, sorry.
No, you're good, you're good.
It's so, literally the only way that fighters can fix it.
It's the only way they can fix it, but it's the way they phrased it is odd. Like, it's not up to Jessica Penny. Would it help if she had a union to back her? 1,000%. But it's not up to, that's what you get. Sorry, guys.
And it's a shame that, you know, to take legal action costs so much money. So, of course, the rich are more protected, and now she's...
A lot of people were bringing that up, like, Jessica Penny needs to raise, like, $40,000, or she'll never fight. Like, she might not be able to fight again. She's, like, supposedly driving Uber and doing, like, these odd-end jobs to make enough to fight this, but then the UFC just moves an entire card for John Jones in, like, 3 days. So, yeah, it's a little...
Yeah, it's lopsided.
It's a little lopsided.
It's sad, like, and, yeah, I'd love to throw money at... You know, anti-court.
Like you see Josh Barnett and Tom Lawler get, like, 2 years of their career taken away from them, and then they get cut, like, right at the end. But then Nate Diaz, and I don't agree with what they did for Josh and Tom, and then Nate Diaz gets flagged for something. He's like, now I'm not fighting. You're all on steroids. And they're like, oh, our fault. My fault, guys. Like, Nate, you can fight again. So it's just like the big names, as in life, normally get preferential treatment. I don't agree with it, but that's how the UFC operates. That's how life operates. So, moving on from Lodovic, another longtime commenter from the Luke Thomas days. True or false? So, true or false, and if you want to explain, you can. Mm-hmm. John Jones gets a point deduction for something against Reyes.
Well, are we talking about eye pokes?
Anything. Anything.
False.
Yeah, I'm going to say false. It's Herb Dean, and Herb Dean said that he's been warned by fighters before fighting John Jones that, like, hey, this guy eye pokes, and he's like, yeah, okay, I'm still gonna call it like I normally call it. So historically, he has not been point deducted. He got point deducted for the Anthony Smith, like the knee on Anthony Smith, the illegal knee, but I don't think he's been point deducted for an eye poke off the top of my head.
There's just not a lot of point deductions out there. Like, there just really doesn't happen that much.
Have you ever seen a point deduction on the first eye poke?
I can't remember many point deductions from eye pokes, period. Like, I know they've happened, but I can't think of one off the top of my head.
You give him some time to recover, get a warning, and then you move on.
And then it happens again, and he's like, close your hands, close your hands. Right. Close your hands.
Like Dominic Reyes says, like, you get one, is what he's heard.
You get one.
You get one groin shot, one fence grab, one eye poke.
One.
It's the rules.
There's been on RMMA, on Reddit, there's been a lot of videos of people holding gloves lately, like putting their fingers in the gloves to, like, like pull someone back or to kind of get balance, or like there was a fighter who was like off his back, and when the guy tried to step back, his hand, he was like, ah, and he couldn't get his hand out, and like the guy was clearly cupping around, or like the Tim Kennedy Yoel Romero one comes to mind. But there was just a whole lot of nonsense in that fight. So but to answer the question, false. I don't think he gets the point taken away unless it's something egregious like a illegal knee.
Every time we interrupt, since we're not on any kind of audio channel or we don't have mics, I'm gonna just, you can call us the B-side.
The B-side? Okay. True or false? Fans will be booing at some point during the Valentina versus Catlin fight.
True.
Yeah, 100% true.
That's always a safe bet.
Fight fans are an odd bunch. Do you think the better question, do you think we see the wave or the flashlights come out?
Oh, I hope not the wave. I hate the wave.
So do I. They did the flashlight thing and the wave during, Cynthia Calvillo and Corny Casey in Phoenix, and then they did the wave when Tim Kennedy was fighting Hodger Gracie at UFC 162. They even did they did both during the Tyron Woodley Stephen Thompson too, when they just circled each other for 25 minutes.
If I'm in a sporting event and people do the wave around me, I don't want to get up. I got like my stuff, I got like food, like I can't get up.
You're also watching people like fist fight inside of a cage. Like, there's no, like, baseball stuff, they do it not because they're bored, but because it's like just like a thing they always do, and same as soccer games, but like a fight, like a UFC event, like, come on.
It's dark in there too, like, you can't really see.
That's why they take the flashlights out and they all wave them around like Bray Wyatt's making his entrance. True or false, Derek Lewis knocks out Ilia Laitifi in the first round.
First round, false. Second round, true.
I think this fight will end in a knockout, and I assume it will be Derek Lewis, but I don't think it'll be the first round. He fought Blagoy Ivanov to three rounds, and people were like, oh, he did a knockout Blagoy Ivanov. Blagoy Ivanov has been stabbed like violently, and he's still alive. So I think he survived worse than fighting Derek Lewis. So I was not surprised he didn't get knocked out.
People were criticizing the Ivanov fight.
Fight ruled.
Those stupid fans. Go home.
B-side, the B-side chiming in and calling fans stupid. More at 11. True or false, Leon Edwards will walk out to a quote-unquote, and I'm using this because they wrote it, Leon Edwards walk out to a song, I'm using, for those just listening, air quotes, by Tyron Woodley.
False. He's not going to do it because I don't think the stadium would recognize it as Woodley's song. I don't think the joke would land.
I don't think it would be for the crowd. I think it would be to mess with Tyron Woodley.
Yeah, that would. I feel like Woodley would be the one, too. It would piss him off.
It would piss him off.
How is that? It's like, how is that messing with him? It's like, oh, I'm going to publicize your music.
Well, because Leon Edwards... talked a bunch of trash about the song, and then Tyron Woodley, so this is what Leon Edwards said to our own Pete Carroll on the Eurobatch, you should check it out. Leon Edwards said he talked junk about the rap song, and then Tyron Woodley DM'd him to, like, criticizing his criticism, and then blocked him. So, like, the precedent, like, this basically all started because Leon Edwards was talking a bunch of greasiness about Tyron Woodley's song, and then Tyron Woodley's like, if you keep talking trash, I'm not gonna fight you. And I was like, that is a very odd reason not to fight someone. A, come out with a diss song, or B, fist fight him.
Yeah.
Or do both.
Yeah, where's Edwards' mixtape?
It's in the works.
Why wouldn't you want to fight someone who's talking trash about you? Like, that's the best motivation.
If you're a rap artist that also fights people for a living, walk out to a diss song and then fist fight the guy.
Walk out to your own song.
It depends on if the UFC will allow that. Because, like, they didn't let, didn't Anderson Silva's son make a song? They didn't let him walk out for a minute? Or, like, Brian Ortega had, one of his friends made a song, and the UFC didn't get, like, the rights to something or other. I don't quite know the whole story. But it is what it is. So, but what was the, I'm going to say true, because I want it to happen.
For sure.
So badly. No, the Leon Edwards walking out to a song by Tyron Woodley. I want that to happen so badly. Cowboy will fight twice before Conor fights again. False.
I'm gonna say false too.
I don't think Cowboy fights until, if he fights again, it'll be late 2020. If I'm his team, I'm like, you cannot fight again until late 2020.
And I actually do think Conor will fight relatively soon.
I think he'll fight in the summer or September. But Habib, if Habib beats Tony and they want to do that rematch, Habib doesn't really fight in the summer because of Ramadan, so that would be the only hold up. But at the end of the day, as is tradition on the A side, we always have to point out the loser in this whole scenario is Justin Gaethje.
Oh.
More true or false from Eduardo Bueno. True or false, John Jones finishes Dominic Reyes.
True.
I'll say false just because I want to be different. I think it'll be, I think Dominic Reyes is intelligent enough not to get finished, but I do think he will lose. True or false, Jones will fight Stipe next. I'm assuming after Dominic Reyes. I'm going to say false solely because I think Daniel Cormier fights Stipe next, the trilogy.
Yeah.
And then I think win or lose, so if Daniel Cormier wins, he will retire. If Daniel Cormier loses, he will retire. So if he wins and he retires, the belt will be vacated. I think then Stipe could fight John Jones for the vacant heavyweight championship, or depending on how this fight goes, because for all we know, John Jones would be seriously injured in this fight. I don't like to future match make before a fight happens because they could get 6 months medical suspensions. Or Stipe fights the winner of Jairzinho and Ngannou for the vacant championship. But yeah. Stipe will fight for the championship next, regardless of whether he beats, wins or loses against Daniel Cormier, the trilogy.
Right.
But I would love to see the John Jones fight. True or false, Valentina will fight Amanda Nunes next.
Next?
No. After, no, hell no. They're not going to fight for a while. Amanda Nunes has said she wants to defend her featherweight championship next. I would love her to fight Felicia Spencer, because as Casey Lydon has pointed out many a time, Amanda Nunes historically doesn't look great off her back, but she's not really fought anyone that's put her on her back. It's always been strikers that she can out-grapple, or like when she gets fights, Chris Cyborg, she just gets in a firefight and connects and knocks her out. Or she fights Ronda Rousey, who tries to clinch up and can't, and then she just tees off on her. So Spencer would be a really fun fight, which again is why the fight against Cyborg at UFC 240 didn't make any sense, because they just knocked off a potential 145-pound contender and then let Chris Cyborg ship out.
Yeah, that's a shame.
But I also, if Megan Anderson wins her next fight, that'd be, what, two in a row? Mm-hmm. I feel like they would give it to Megan Anderson over Felice Spencer, even though Spencer has a win over her.
Amanda versus Megan?
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know if I like that for Megan.
I don't either. I think the Spencer fight is, to me, would answer more questions about Amanda than the Megan Anderson fight.
Yeah.
But if they want to, like, Megan is tall, she's long, she's from the part of the world that they're trying to really push right now, mm-hmm. in the Australia, New Zealand countries, or Australia continent, New Zealand country.
Australasia.
Wait, you say you don't like...
Oceania. Whatever.
What, you say you don't like Megan fighting...
Amanda,
why not?
Because I like Megan.
That's what they do. I think that's what Megan wants.
Right? Yeah. For sure. Good for... I mean, yeah. I wish it for her. I really do. The fight would be great for her, but I don't see it going in her way.
So you'd rather her just fight not the title?
just keep getting better until she's good enough to fight Amanda Nunes?
Yeah. She's relatively new in the UFC, and...
She's coming off of a big win in Australia. I think that was the first time she ever even fought in Australia, right?
That's what she said, I think.
No. Since like Invicta.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Since she went to Invicta. She originally started, her first couple of fights were over there. Or
you're right. Yeah. Her first five fights were in Australia. And then since then, it was all Kansas City, California, and then Rochester. And then she fought Melbourne. But, like, Felicia Spencer not only beat her, but tapped her. And a fight, she should have gotten a performance bonus, but she didn't. No. Casey puts his hands up. He's like, don't get me started. True or false, John Jones will face at least one picogram problem in 2020.
False. If we haven't heard it yet, I have a feeling that that's just going to get... That's under the rug at this point.
Do you think it's under the rug because it's not there, or do you think it's under the rug because people are pushing it there?
People are pushing it under the rug.
Yeah, I don't think USADA wants to deal with that.
If this
situation
was a pulsing thing, then they literally set them up. They set themselves up to be able to say that this could come back.
Yeah.
And it hasn't come back. Weird.
I agree. So I'll say false. Colby Covington gets another title shot in 2020.
It could happen, sure.
Could happen, and they were like... Usman is supposedly fighting Jorge Masvidal International Fight Week, in a fight I think we can all agree makes sense right now. I think Masvidal Conor would make the most sense financially, but in terms of the welterweight title picture, I think Masvidal is the next man up, especially because Leon Edwards is already booked against Tyron Woodley. If Leon Edwards beats Tyron Woodley, I think he would most likely be the next man up, especially if Kamaru wants to keep defending his belt rather than take all these super fights. But Kamaru Usman's manager, Ali Abdelaziz, said, like, if he wants it, he can come get a rematch again after they finish they have unfinished business with Masvidal, so.
And the people want to see it, I'm sure. People love the good guy, bad guy thing.
Casey Lydon from the B-side wants to chime in.
If Kevin Lee wins his next fight against...
Charles Oliveira.
Kevin Lee, back up to 170, fights Colby. Bernie versus Trump.
Oh, I'm into it.
I mean,
and I think it kind of lines up with election season. So assuming Bernie wins the Democratic nomination.
Put it in MSG, Trump's home city.
And New York loves Trump.
Let's get some extra security on that card.
My goodness.
You can email UFC.com, Dana, UFC.com.
Dana White at
UFC. Yeah, Dana.White.
Just tell him at the press conference. Be like, question from Casey Lydon.
Not really a question, more of a suggestion.
Oh, okay. No, just a demand.
Yeah, demand. Demand, Mr. White.
Well, Kevin Lee's already said that he took the fight against Charles Oliveira in Brazil because he was promised a fight against Islam Makhachev in Russia after this.
It is a win.
That's true. Could be, what, in 7 years from now? I like the what we were talking about before, where if Valentina beats Catelyn, and they do need to go to Russia again, they could put Valentina versus Roxanne Modafari for the championship in Russia. Roxanne's already beaten Valentina's sister in Russia. put Kevin Lee versus Makhachev as the co-main event. I like that.
And then Roxy beats Valentina for upset of the year.
If Roxanne Modafferi beats Valentina Shevchenko, that would... Oh, my God. Weebs rejoice. That's all I'm going to say. Moving on. Trumbo, one of our longest commenters. 2020 promotion. There's some great fights scheduled for the first 4 months of 2020, but is it just me or does everything feel flat? Not a lot of media, press conferences, or anything. Habib, Tony, Zhang versus Joanna, Izzy versus Yoel, Jones versus Reyes. Is it just me or does the excitement level around the fight so far seem kind of deflated?
I don't think it feels deflated. I think this is the standard. This is what it is when there's no, like, raging controversies. This is how you cover a normal sport. There's no, like,
that's what. So riots. It's also, like, this is also the ESPN era. Like, you don't need all of that anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, NFL's an NFL game every Sunday. Like, is there, like, this blood feud that you need to build up between, like, Tom Brady and... like, fill in the blank every Sunday. Like, I'm sure you could concoct something, but at the end of the day, they're still going to play a football game. Like, this ESPN era,
right.
It's on ESPN. We're going to we're going to put all these promotions and everything, unless it's Conor. Like, even the Conor fight felt weird. Like,
he knew he had to keep his shit together.
Like, we were all in Vegas for, like, the press conference, and, like, me and Petey were like, this is the strangest.
Yeah.
Like, the first press conference with Cowboy where they were, like, buddy-buddy and hugging, we were like, this is the strangest vibe.
Yeah.
I've ever experienced.
And we even talked about, like, how the numbers were lower, like, on the site and the videos, and Connor, like, just, it, because people knew they weren't going to get anything. It was just going to be the same answers over and over again.
Also, I feel like ESPN gets a lot of these interviews with these fighters. Yeah. Maybe people were just Connored out.
Yeah.
Like, they got that long, it was a great interview with Ariel, but, like, you got all the answers you needed right there. Like, did we need to see him again in a press conference? Like, he did the same thing with John Jones. Like, we're going to get this fighter panel with the two sides, like, that we get John Valentina and Derek Lewis, and then we get Dominic Catlin and Ilir Latifi, and then we're going to get them again in media day.
Yeah.
So is it more oversaturation at this point? Like, if there's only one pay-per-view once a month, but then we have all of this, like, fight nights in between, like, are people just, like, tired of the UFC at this point?
And I think that a lot of the matchups that are coming up are people with mutual respect, and there's not a lot of that trash talk, there's not a lot of the banter, so...
I think Izzy's gonna stir up some stuff with Joel, calling him the juice monkey and this and that, and Izzy can sell a fight. Izzy can sell a fight with anyone.
But people love Romero too much to, like...
They do, but I think people are going to want to see Israel. I think Israel Adesanya is at the point where right now you either love him or you hate him. So I think a lot of people are going to want to see him lose.
Yeah.
So, like, I've spoken with some people and they're like, that guy kind of looks like a D-bag. Or they'll be like, that guy rules. And so it's like, I think he's like, he's at that point where he's, I think he's like the first of the Reebok era. I think he's like the first genuine, like he's only fought in the Reebok era and he's a megastar. He's like a superstar for like that can transcend mixed martial arts. He has the crossover appeal. And I think at that point, like, people are going to love him or hate him.
So hold on, commenter. Fireworks are coming.
Yeah, TBD. Bantamweight from Big Lou Diggy. Can the A-siders straighten out men's bantamweight? Is this the second or third deepest and most exciting division in MMA at the moment? Cejudo defending against Aldo in Brazil is certainly not ideal from a ranking standpoint. That being said, personally not against aghast over here. Let's match up the rest. Aldo versus Jan in a fight night main event for number one contender. Cruz versus Edgar because this must happen. Sanhagen versus Marlon. Let's see how Cody and his son shall play out. So I think Edgar's going to should fight Sanhagen because they were already matched up to begin with. Dominic Cruz isn't even cleared to come back yet, I think. So I like the Sanhagen Edgar fight. I think that's a... It's not Cruz versus Edgar, but it's similar. And Corey Sanhagen has said numerous times that he kind of models his fight game off of Dominic Cruz. I like Aldo versus Jan a ton. I think that is clearly a number one contender fight.
If Jan's not getting the title shot right now, then fine, fight Aldo. And then they'll take on the winner.
And there's no debating over who would get. Like, if whoever wins that fight, there's no argument over who's the number one contender.
Yeah.
And
Marlon?
I mean, yeah, Marlon's there. He just beat...
He'd be Aldo.
Sure, but so then if Aldo beats Cejudo, then Aldo Marlon. There you go. But, like, I think Jan Aljamain, if, again, as this person said, in a rankings perspective, I think Aljo Jan should be a number one contender fight, and Jan's kind of his stock is pretty high right now, knocking out Uriah Faber, getting into a little scuffle with Cody Garbrandt backstage, and then if Cody Garbrandt wins, like, he wants to fight Jan in Moscow or in Russia. So put that on the Russia card that we've already concocted right now.
It doesn't even matter, because if Aldo wins, they're just going to rematch Cejudo.
That's true.
And then if Cejudo wins that rematch, they're going to rematch Cejudo-Aldo.
Yeah, just do a trilogy right there.
So don't.
Nothing matters.
Yeah, don't even worry about the bantamweight division.
Don't
for a
even
while.
Try to make sense of anything, because when you try to book fights and you use your brain, it never works out. We're gonna hop over to Twitter real quick. So if you want to go to Twitter and use hashtag the A side, I did a little like dig through the questions on Twitter. Mm-hmm. A lot of non MMA related questions from Zuzana Fights. What is your favorite cereal? I'm not. That's what she asked.
The correct answer to this is Rice Krispie Treats cereal. If you've never had it, they only sell it at certain stores. I've only found it at like one out of every 10 Targets. Have you had it?
I didn't even know.
Exactly. It's so good. That's the correct answer. Next question.
I would say my favorite cereal for a long time was Waffle Crisp. Casey wants to throw in our crystals right here. My favorite cereal for years is Waffle Crisp. Also, when I think Toy Story 2 came out, they had a Buzz Lightyear cereal that I was a big fan of. But I don't remember what it was.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
I feel like nobody likes those limited editions.
Oreo O's ruled.
Too. No, that's trash. Yeah. That's the incorrect answer. But
okay. I also don't eat much cereal these days. So.
I love cereal.
Another question from Suzanne. Angela Hill fought in Raleigh and is scheduled for Auckland now. How many fights is she going to take this year? And how will her Muay Thai match up against Luke Mumbies?
How many? Five.
Five fights for Angela Hill?
Let's do five. This is her second already, and it's not even...
Yeah, I would say, I'll say four.
Okay. But she did what, four last year, three last year?
I don't know off the top of my head, but if she gets five, it's going to be these short notice fights.
Yeah.
Like, she's going to just be like, oh, Wiley Zhang gets hurt. She's like, I'll fight Joanna at 125 pounds in the co-main event. Like, she would 100% be down for any of that. So, I agree. I'll say four, but I would not be surprised if it was five, especially because after Raleigh, she's like, I am down for any short notice fight.
Yeah.
Because her Jack Ward is like, I'll take any fight because I'm an idiot.
Yeah, we're on pace. Let's do
it. It's crazy. Like, when she got cut by the UFC, fans hated her. It didn't seem like the UFC liked her that much. Goes and wins the Invicta Championship. Comes back and is now all of a sudden Angela Cowboy Hill, just fighting every other week.
Is this the best strategy for her, though? I mean, she's known as the one who's going to take a fight last minute, but is that the way to move up and to be recognized?
I think it's the way to make money.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
I mean, she's a prize fighter. And
If
that's your goal, to just keep making money. Like, Cowboy made a lot of money in his time.
Yeah.
I think he should have been paying a lot more than the disclosed payouts to fight Connor, but that is another conversation. Jerry McCarthy, welcome, Alex, but is it really the A-side without Pizzy? Anyway, the question.
That's what it says.
I was going to let her respond after I read the... You want to respond before I read the question?
Yeah, the A-side is the A-side, no matter who's sitting in these chairs, pal.
Yeah.
But
next question. Yeah.
Next question, Jerry. By the 22nd of November, Bellator... February. I'm done. Why did I say November? I got discombobulated.
Alex, read the question.
Yeah. By the 22nd of February, Bellator will have had three women's main events out of six. Is this and Cyborg signing signaling a big push by Bellator of its female divisions?
I hope so. I mean, I'd like to see them open up another division for the women.
Which one don't they have?
They don't have bantamweight.
Yeah.
Which is odd, but I can't imagine that it would be that difficult to do.
Do they have a strawweight champion?
Flyweights and featherweights.
No, they have flyweight and featherweight, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew they were missing some.
Even though they book a lot of strawweight fights, and they booked adamant fights, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they booked 35 fights for some reason.
For a while.
But they do book strawweight fights.
Yeah.
So.
And their flyweight division is like, Lemelay McFarlane could be the best, like that. People talk about a lot of super fights, like all like McFarlane Valentina's awesome fight. If that, it won't ever happen. I don't think Lima Lay will ever jump over to the UFC, and she said that like her career is closer to the end than it is like getting started. But they, man, Bellator really lucked out with that signing. Like, they signed her. She was part of that soccer mom fight where she fought like a soccer mom and then just crushed her.
That was so sad.
They signed her off that, and then little did they know, they get one of the best flyweights in the world. And not only that, she's from Hawaii, and they can make that huge push to Hawaii that the UFC hasn't done. And like, Casey and Esther have covered her fights in Hawaii, and their videos of like the crowd losing their minds. Who did she beat?
Valerie Letourneau.
Letourneau, like when she beat Letourneau, like that place became unhinged watching that. So, man, Bellator locked down and striking gold in the Lima Lay.
Yeah.
Also, not really a soccer mom.
Yes.
From the B-side.
Another question from, well, not another question. It's Valentino Saifedean Tarhan. I apologize. I always say sorry if I mispronounce that name. Cyborg seems so happy at Bellator after Gina Carano revealed her incident with Dana years ago with the text messages and many other fighters saying how disrespected they've been by Dana. Does this change your opinion about him as president of the UFC? Well, my... What was my opinion?
Yeah.
What was my opinion?
Yeah, nothing changed.
Nothing changed with mine. Like, he's kind of, yeah, it's just more like, yeah. Like, when Gina Carano came out and said, like, all the stuff Dana White did with, like, the accidental text messages and that, like, I was like, yeah, duh. Uh-huh. Like, it didn't surprise me. But then a lot of people that were, like, specifically because she's in The Mandalorian and she's in, like, a lot of these, like, blockbuster movies now, they know Gina Carano, so they saw this on ESPN as a headline, and they were like, can you believe what Dana White did? Like, these are friends that have never watched fights. I was like, yes, very much so. Like, this is nothing new.
And this is nothing new in the world, in society. Do you believe what my boss did?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, I 100% believe you. From Sean Denny, at Denny Rants, this individual leaves a lot of questions for PT, but he says, hashtag the A-side, are the Red Sox being cheap by dealing Mookie Betts? Don't even get me started, Sean Denny. I will lose my mind talking about this. But long story short,
too late.
100%. Fuck the Red Sox.
Whoa. Here we go again.
From at Strike MXNYC at Jose. Do you expect the Jones we see against Reyes to be the smart, tactical, and safe version we saw versus Santos and OSP? If so, is this his new norm, a la GSP, focused on maintaining and defending his legacy? The OSP fight was on short notice, was it not?
Nope. OSP was on short notice.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so the John Jones normally doesn't like to take these like late minute replacement fights.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So, like, remember when who was it?
No,
that,
but it was shortish. It wasn't like a week or...
Correct, but like... What?
Have a discussion with Alex instead of the B-side.
Oh, he was jumping in. So, anywho.
Stop jumping in.
Do you expect to see the Jones we saw see against Reyes to be the one against OSP and Santos?
I don't...
Well, the OSP one, I don't know if you remember. I can't remember what the original fight was going to be. But Jones took the fight against short notice. Well, OSP stepped up, and historically, John Jones doesn't like that. Like, remember when Chael Sonnen offered to step in for Dan Henderson? He's like, no. Like, I like to have a full camp prepared, but he did it as a favor to the UFC to, like, kind of build himself back up. What do you expect?
No, I think we're going to see the John Jones you would expect, the full power. I think with all this, like, talk about, like, oh, no, he's never fought anybody like Dominic Reyes. He's more athletic and blah, blah, blah. Like John Jones says, like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Like, one, everybody's athletic. And number two, like, everybody he's fought is athletic. So he's just going to come into the fight like his normal John Jones self.
Right. So the long story is, I think every John Jones we see against any other opponent is, like, completely different John Jones. Yeah. I think he reinvents himself every single fight, similar to like Alexander Volkanovski kind of touched upon that when he fought Max Holloway. He says, like, a lot of fighters, they'll just bring in what they have to fight Max rather than, like, he's prepared to fight every person differently, yeah, to use their weaknesses. And I think John Jones is a master of doing that.
Yeah.
So again, I have no idea. I know John Jones probably has a lot of, like, even in the press conference, he was like, all you have is a left hand. Like, he already is,
yeah,
he already knows what, he believes he knows what Dominic Reyes is bringing. So who knows, because every John Jones fight is different. From Dorji Taming Jinsing, I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. Another similar question. Given how Jones looked in his last fight, do you think he'll that much more motivated to not just win, but to do it in a dominant fashion? Huge MMA fan. Peace and love from India. Shout out to this live chat. Well, hello, India. We're live here in Houston, so similar question. Do you think John Jones's last performance will motivate him to just, like, blitz through Dominic Reyes?
I don't think that's the way that his mind works.
I could not agree more.
Yeah, I don't think that's how they see it. Like, you gotta, your last fight's a knockout. You gotta get another knockout. Like, it's no. A lot of these fighters would tell you, like, a win is a win. You know, that's what they're gunning for.
Yeah, I don't see, like, I can't remember who said it, but it was like, once you win the championship, it's like the pressure to just retain is, yeah, just so high. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, you put on all these spectacular performances to get there. But then once you win and you get a sense of, like, oh, now that I'm champion, I get more money. Mm-hmm. I can get pay-per-view points. I get more sponsorships. And then you lose the belt, all that goes away.
Yeah.
So, like, the as, like, a number one contender, like, if Jan and Aljo fight, oh, you lose. You can fight. You can win another fight and get right back there in title contention. You're a champion, you lose. Like, you lose a lot more than just the belt. It's,
yeah,
everything that goes around it. So maybe the pressure to win is there, but I don't think the pressure to put on a spectacular performance is there in John Jones.
I think, like, the more focused you are, like, let's say John Jones was in thinking, I'm going to get a knockout. The more you're looking for a knockout, the less you're looking for other ways to win. And that's not a great strategy. So
let's see. So many questions. Oh, from fans of Mr. Stationery. Don't know what that means. What would be the biggest upset of 2020?
I think we mentioned it. Roxy to Valentina.
Like, but this person also didn't say, like,
scheduled
any
fights?
Sort of scheduled fights or...
In our hypothetical world.
What would be the biggest...
Because that's the one that could potentially actually be booked. I mean, obviously, there could be bigger,
like,
upsets, but...
This is also, like, again, this part, like, Josh Emmett knocking out Francis Ngannou. That would,
right,
be a big upset. Michael Johnson flying armbarring Daniel Cormier. That would be a huge upset. Moving on. Another question from Suzanne. What are Corey Anderson's chances of beating Jones, considering both, assuming both of them win?
Pretty good, sure.
Sure, why not?
He's on fire.
Yeah, he's on fire, but he also has to be Jan Blachowicz, who, say what you want about Jan, but I think he has a very similar, not similar style, but he makes people look terrible.
Yeah.
Like, against, like, he knocked out Luke Rockhold, like, fair play to him, but then against Jacare, like, he made Jacare look,
yeah,
bad. He makes, the fight against Jimmy Manuel, and that second fight was awesome, but he can really, like, drag you out of your element.
Yeah. If Corey Anderson wins this, then this next one, I think he stands a pretty good chance.
If he... But again, like, if John Jones moves up to heavyweight, like, would he vacate and then Corey Anderson fights, like... I don't even know.
That's messy.
The win, like, Anthony Smith versus Glover Teixeira?
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's rough. If one of the champs loses, Houston is the place Matt Starr finished GSP after all. Who is most likely to lose the belt? I think we answered that a little earlier.
Yeah, I said
we both
Jones.
Agree it's Jones, because Valentina has, I think the gap between her and number two is so wide. We're going to hop back over to the site, see what else we got, and then we'll hop over into the YouTube comments. Because we're getting a lot of the same questions over, like, who has the biggest chance of losing? Who has this and that? Usman versus Masvidal, planned for International Fight Week, from Zaku Kokegi. How do you guys see this fight playing out, and who walks away the winner? So, I don't know if you heard, it's not official yet, but yeah, Dana White has said that fight will most likely go down International Fight Week. Usman putting his welterweight title on the line against Fari Masvidal. Your thoughts on the actual fight, not the tomfoolery that will most likely happen.
I think Usman pulls it off over Masvidal. I don't know how.
I mean, Masvidal has never looked better, ever. 2019 was one of the most spectacular years I've ever seen from a fighter, with Till, his KO of Till, his KO of Askren, and then him fighting Diaz for a fictional championship. If it wasn't for Israel Adesanya, like, I think his body of work in 2019 was slightly more impressive simply because fight of the year against Gaslam and the knockout Robert Whittaker is just more impressive to me than those three wins. But Masvidal had one of the greatest years in MMA history. I don't think any of those three fighters are on the same level as Usman in terms of, like, all-around abilities. Like, Usman is an unbelievable wrestler. Yeah. Is he a better wrestler than Askren? I don't know, but I think he's a better MMA fighter. Definitely a better striker. Mm-hmm. And then Nate, say what you want. I think we were all in agreement that that was way too quick of a turnaround from fighting Anthony Pettis in August to then fighting Jorge Masvidal in November.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
So you say Usman, how? Decision? Knockout? KO?
Let's go TKO.
TKO?
Yeah.
What round? You think it reaches championship rounds?
No.
Because Usman doesn't normally finish people. Like, yes, he finished Colby Covington. He has finished people, but who knows? I think it's going to be an incredibly violent fight. I don't think it's going to be a boring fight whatsoever.
No, it's not going to be boring.
Especially
at all.
Because that fight against Colby Covington was awesome.
Yeah, that was
to me. And then Masvidal has looked pretty unbelievable. Well, not pretty unbelievable, but
and talk about hype. I mean, those two don't like each other, so that makes for your so fun press.
I don't think we got enough camera angles from that little dust up,
scuffle,
that little kerfuffle in Super Bowl Media Day. So if anyone has more camera angles, like a drone shot or one coming up from like a drain, like, you let us know. I'm gonna hop over. Max Sherman has asked about Michel Pereira maybe 100 times in this chat. So what are your thoughts on... He's just asking. He's like, Michel Pereira, question mark? Michel Pereira. Michel Pereira. Michel Pereira. What are your thoughts on Michel Pereira to ease Max Sherman's mind? He's fighting Diego Sanchez. He's fighting Diego Sanchez in Rio Rancho. So there you go, Max Sherman.
Two thumbs up.
Way up. Casey Lyon and John Wayne walking over here to talk about Michel Pereira.
I had to stand up. I was just like, damn.
There were serious lack of backflips going on in that walk-up. A better question would be, ask Alex K. Lee, because that man is a big fan. Charles Oliveira is going to submit Kevin Lee. Okay. Someone goes, Jorge by baptism, Kamaru Usman is going to freeze.
I don't think he's going to freeze. I think if he was going to freeze, he would have froze against Colby, and we've seen that was not the case.
Romero versus Adesanya. Who do you think, like, early? I know we have a whole nother fight week and a whole nother preview show, a lot of A-sides to go before that, but what are your thoughts on this fight?
I'm taking Romero.
Really?
Yeah, I am.
See, I was watching a lot of Romero's past fights, and one thing that really stuck out with me is he is not afraid to lose a round.
Yeah.
He'll lose four rounds in 4 minutes just to land that one crippling punch. He can clearly go five rounds. He's done it a few times. So, but will Izzy make a mistake and get clipped like that? Like, he got rocked bad against Kelvin Gastelum. And Kelvin Gastelum, I think if Kelvin Gastelum hadn't shot in for that takedown, Kelvin could have won that fight. Like, if he emptied the gas tank in that fourth round and just started piecing him up, he could have won. I don't think I'm going on a limb saying that Yoel Romero's probably stronger than Kelvin Gastelum. So if Yoel rocks him and shoots him for a takedown, I have a strong suspicion that he will probably get it, again, especially against the fence.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to pull any of that, like, look over there, and then Paulo Costa's like, where? And then all of a sudden Yoel Romero's coming in with, like, a right hook. I don't think he's going to pull that against Israel Adesanya.
No.
Casey is on record saying he thinks he's going to style on Romero. He thinks Israel Adesanya is going to put on a performance of a lifetime.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I don't think he knocks out Yoel.
No.
I think he either goes five rounds or Yoel scores a knockout.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone is going to be submitted in that fight. Let's see. Masvidal will KO Usman with the same punch that put Till out. Tell the B-side we don't need Casey's yapping. Rude. Zabit's next fight has got to be a five-round fight. Who do you think is next? Him versus Ortega or him versus Jair? Thanks for answering my Twitter question earlier. You are most welcome. So who do you like next versus Zabit?
Did he give options?
I think it's him or Ortega or him or Jair.
I'd like to see Ortega.
I think, especially if Holloway Volkanovski is the next rematch, which means I was saying for a long time, Korean Zombie should get the next title shot. Yeah. And then Holloway should take some time off, and then whoever has the belt when he returns, Holloway fights. So if in this world, Volkanovski Holloway 2 is next, I think I want, selfishly want, Zombie versus Ortega really badly. Like, I just I've been asking for that fight for 4 or 5 years. Like, people on this show know how bad, how demoralized I was when that fell apart. So I rebooked that, and then I do Zabit and Yair. If they don't want to put Valentina on the main event of a Russia card, I think that's an awesome 5-round fight.
Oh, yeah.
For a UFC Moscow fight night card. Because they were booked before. I think it was UFC 228 in Dallas, and then Yair pulled out, and then Zabit got that Suvlov stretch. I think it was against Brandon Davis.
Right.
And then before Yair fought Jeremy Stephens, a lot of the questions leading up to that were about Zabit.
Yeah.
So I like those two fights. And then Koreans, and then I don't know who fights. But then again, like, Zabit Zombie would be awesome too. Ryan Hall. Ryan Hall's fighting Sadiq Youssef in Africa, remember? He's already booked.
Cover them.
Someone goes, you guys don't seem to know much about Michel Pereira. He's the co-main event next week, so they'll be forced to discuss him. All right, then we'll discuss him next week. Like, he's an exciting fighter who does crazy backflips. I think he blew his gas tank out in the first round of his last fight and then lost. He also missed weight. So let's see him make weight first.
Poke the bear.
I also had no corner last week.
Oh yeah, he didn't have any corners. That was in Vancouver, correct? I think it was the Gaethje Cowboy fight card. Took 24 minutes to beat Pillow Hands. I assume he's talking about Usman versus Colby. Someone just goes, people love Yoel Romero.
Don't they? Am I alone in that? I think people like Romero.
I think he's an interesting cat.
He seems like a nice guy.
True or false, if Jorge beats Kamaru, Conor will fight Jorge for a chance at 3 belts.
Say that again.
If Jorge beats Kamaru,
right,
will Conor then fight Jorge for a chance at his 3rd belt?
Stranger
would he win
things
both? Would he win the BMF and the welterweight so he'd have 4 belts?
See, I'm really interested in this BMF belt because I hated it at first, but now that it's in existence, I'm very curious to see what people are going to put up on the line for.
I think they shouldn't even cut weight. BMF don't just show up and fight.
Yeah.
Don't even cut weight.
Because there's no, like, weight. It can transcend weight classes.
Jorge Masvidal versus, I don't know, like, Angela Hill. BMF.
Let's do it.
Wait, some people online, they don't know what BMF stands for.
Yeah, bad motherfucker.
Thank you.
That's what a BMF stands for. So if you are a bad motherfucker, don't even cut weight. Just show up in jeans. Like Nate Diaz, the Diaz brothers used to walk out in, like, the Metal Militia shirts, jeans.
Yeah.
Like Jordans, and then they just threw down and fought.
Whatever you want.
Do it.
I want to see what Masvidal's dad is up to put the belt up for. Like, what would he take?
Pete and I presented when we went to his Mezcal launching. He did 10% in Recuerdo versus 10% in Proper 12.
That's a good... No, Conor would never do that because I'm pretty sure Proper 12 is worth a lot more.
It is worth so much more. If that is the case... Like, you know both of them are going to be uber confident. Like,
yeah.
I don't think Conor's going to go into the fight being like, I'm going to lose this fight, so I shouldn't do this.
Right.
Like, the winner of that will have so much bragging rights. Being like, yeah, I beat you and you have to give me money for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would be so... Please do it. Please do it. Woodley wouldn't walk out to his own music if he were smart.
Okay,
Sorry. Will GSP ever come back to the UFC? I think he really wants to fight Khabib, but I don't think the UFC wants to make that fight. So if he does come back, it will only be for that. And I don't see that fight happening anytime soon.
No.
Because he said that the UFC is afraid of, like, and he doesn't blame them. Like, he beat Bisping, and then all of a sudden he gives up the belt. And then, like, what was that fight even for, besides the money?
Stop coming out of retirement. That's not the word for it, then.
Just come out and fight someone that doesn't have a championship belt. No one will be booing Michel Pereira fights. That's a fact. He got booed his last fight a lot in Vancouver. So I don't know what this guy's talking about. Val will not back down and he will kick Chookagian. Okay. All right. Caitlyn Chookagian. Yes, people keep saying Caitlyn, and I keep correcting them. Given how Jones looked in his last, the same question. Like, do we expect a different Jones based on his last performances?
That's the same person.
Same person? Oh, he just wrote, that's the same person who wrote the same question?
Yeah, he wrote it in the chat, and then no one answered him, so then he went back.
Oh, okay. So. Again, right here, Santos 125, and someone else wrote Jones 4-1, so... How did you score that fight against Thiago Santos?
I didn't. I don't score along with fights.
Really?
No.
So at the end of that fight, who do you, did you thought like, oh, Jones clearly won this fight?
I did, but that was probably my biased opinion.
Yeah. I watched it cage side and then rewatched it again through the broadcast, and Thiago Santos looked a lot better through the broadcast. Like, watching it from the side, it looked like John was just stalking him down the whole fight. Like, right. I thought it was really close, and I thought John Jones won. But then re-watching through the television, I was like, oh, I 100% see why people thought Thiago Santos won this fight. Conor should fight Justin Gaethje before Khabib. I agree. It will not happen. The loser in this whole situation is Justin Gaethje. What were you going to say, Esther?
You have a Twitter question.
It's a Twitter. Hopping all over. Who from who? Oh, who are your pick? Oh, we got it. Is it the same? Oh, the same person asked the same question on YouTube. Mark Liam, who are your picks? Who are your picks for the next president? My hunch says Casey and Esther are Bernie 2020 by deposition, while Jose is Mayor Pete Booster. I don't have a read on Alex, but I am highly confident that Pete Carroll would ride Trump all the way to the White House. What is that question about?
I just had to bring that up because I know PT would be very offended.
Don't worry about it.
Slightly offended, but...
Do you want to answer the question then, Casey? Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry about it. I know PT would be very offended by it.
Hey, tell these commenters to stick to sports.
Stick to sports, guy.
Jeez.
Stick to sports, Mark.
Sprouts ball. Let's talk about Shakira. Question from Esther Lynn is super hot.
And is also my wife.
And also my wife. Alex and Jose, can you do the Shakira la 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 la?
No.
Nah, you set the bar way too
high. I'm not putting that out on the internet.
you set the bar way too high.
No need to get yourself gifted the first
place. Oh my god.
Who do you think, from Ricardo on the YouTube comments, who do you think is a dark horse in the middleweight division?
Hold.
Jerry Cannonier. Captain Crystal.
Is he the dark horse, though?
Right now, he's kind of... He doesn't even have an opponent lined up yet.
Why you look at that answer? From the B-side?
Yeah.
From the B-side?
Is 185 right now actually... Not Izzy himself, but is 185 the weakest division right now in the UFC? But divisions go through waves.
Because I think the mass exodus to light heavyweight really hurt them. Like, losing Anthony Smith and Thiago Santos and... all these fighters kind of exit.
Costa's injured. Romero's
coming off two losses.
Whitaker's obviously off a loss. Kinnear, and then after that, it seems like a pretty big drop.
Calvin, Till,
Brunson. I don't think there is one.
Well, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
He just seems like a prospect.
Is it weak or is it just that competitive?
Well, weak only relative to the other divisions. How about that?
I'm going down the list. This is the top 15. So Israel's Adesanya is the champion. Whitaker's 1. Costa's 2. Romero's 3. Cannonier's 4. Till is 5. Hermanson is 6. Gaslam is 7. Brunson is 8. Shabazzian is 9. Uriah Hall is 10. That's the top 10. And then supposedly Jacare is coming back down to middleweight. And then we have Brad Tavares, Omri Akhmadov, Ian Hynes, Carlos Jr., and Anderson Silva sitting at 15.
I think of all the divisions right now, middleweight, it seems to be the rebuilding division right now. It's not...
Not heavyweight? Heavyweight is very top-heavy.
Heavyweight's always sucks.
There's a lot of fighters in the heavyweight division that end in, like, OV or VICH.
I mean, the middleweight, you could take all these rankings, shuffle them all up, and it'd still make sense. Like, it just...
How about women's featherweight? In the UFC.
The dark horse?
There's like four fighters.
That's not a division. I know.
There's no even image.
We are coming to a close in the show.
We are coming to a close on the show, as Esther Lynn has pointed out. As always, you've never done one before, but as always, it's tradition. You get a promo to talk about whatever you want. to close out the show. So, Alex, the floor is yours to cut any final promo before we call it a day on this episode of The A-Side.
Check out my mixtape. I'm just kidding.
Oh, God. I thought that was... I was like, whoa.
No, I don't have anything to promo.
My promo would be go watch a known cinephile, Joseph Benavidez, broke down the entire Academy Award nominations, gave his predictions, gave his end of the decade list for performances and movie of the year. I believe his favorite movie of the decade was Lady Bird. Didn't agree with that. Controversially, he said Parasite, I don't think is going to win anything. Or he thinks it'll win Best Foreign Language Film, but that's it. Casey Lydon was beside himself. Midsommar did not make his top 10. Casey was also Pain and Glory also didn't make his top 10, but he said Antonio Banderas was great, which I agree. I think he deserves the Oscar over Joaquin Phoenix. Quote me. He said Joker was his favorite movie of the year. Did not agree with that either.
No, I don't agree with that.
But anyway, go watch it. It was a lot of fun to shoot it. We were just talking off camera, like during media day, and I was like, do you want to put this on camera? He goes, yes. Yes, I do. He could have talked for 2 hours. Like, I had to cut it short. So I would love to do a follow-up after the Oscars to get his reactions to who actually won. A lot of interesting stuff. He could name all of the nominations off his head, explain why he thought some people got snubbed. Like, I know, Casey, you were very upset Awkwafina didn't get nominated for anything. Mm-hmm. He explained why he thought she didn't get nominated. So,
The Farewell
in general got shut out, same as Adam Sandler and Eddie Murphy. So a lot of interesting takes from who I, outside of fighting, this Joseph Benavidez knows more about movies than pretty much anyone I've ever met. So go give it a watch. It was very fascinating, even though a lot of people are like, oh, slow news day, talking about the Oscars. Hey, Joseph Benavidez, if there's a fighter out there who has like, I still want to make a video with George St. Pierre talking about dinosaurs, because that would be incredible. So go watch that. But for Jose, this is Alex. Well done on your first on-camera debut. I'm sure you'll see her a lot more on either the A-Side preview shows, post-fight shows, and of course, everyone's favorite hipster coffee talk hour, Coffee Talk, coming up this week as Casey plugs the black mug. No, not even logo. But until then, again, that's Alex. I'm Jose. We're out.
This is the A-Side out song.